Well, I thank the Lord this afternoon that song I believe and know to be true, as I found it to be so. Many times things in life that we experience, maybe things that we enjoy doing, maybe it's a hobby, or maybe somebody gets into a thing they enjoy putting puzzles together, or maybe they enjoy doing this little thing in their free time, or that project, or art, or craft. Many times it gets old. Many times you can only do it so long before the newness of it starts to wear off. You've already done it. You've already been there and done that. And it doesn't hold the same fulfillment to it that it did before. But you know, serving the Lord isn't like that. It's not supposed to be like that. It doesn't have to be like that. But it's something that we can find that's new every day. That doesn't grow old. It doesn't grow stale. It doesn't diminish in value or in worth to us. But the scripture says that the path of the just is as a shining light that doesn't fade away. It's not diminishing like the battery's running down on it, but it shines more and more into that perfect day. That's salvation, and that's the one that we serve. Ask for your prayers this afternoon. Need the Lord's blessings and help to bring out His words. I was seeking Him of what He would have. It felt like He brought this to me this week, and pray that it'll be a blessing to us. I'd like to begin in the 16th chapter of the book of Proverbs, written on the board, the King's Countenance. Proverbs 16, and beginning with the 14th verse. Proverbs 16 and 14. The wrath of a king is as messengers of death, but a wise man will pacify it. In the light of the king's countenance is life, and his favor is as the cloud of the latter rain. You know, a king is something that we here in the United States really aren't too familiar with. The concept of it is something that's really kind of hard for us to comprehend. The founders of our country didn't intend for us to have a king. It wasn't their intention or their design or their model of government that we have one person to rule over us, that their word holds the final authority and say in the affairs of our nation. They didn't want it to one man to have that kind of power. Absolute power, they believed, will corrupt absolutely. So they wanted to have a system of checks and balances that no one man can get up so exalted, but what he's kept in check by another one. But you know, a king in the true sense of who a king is has the power to say, take his head off, and his head comes off. He has the power to say, this is the new law of the land. Remember the king, whenever they came to him in the days of Daniel, and they said, O king, those that were the peers of Daniel, they were jealous of him, were envious of him. They came to the king and said, Oh, king, they really built him up. They really played on him, and they had an underlying agenda in it all. But they said, Oh, king, why don't you make a decree in the land that anyone that serves a god other than you or prays to someone other than you, they'll be put to death. They'll be cast into the lion's den. That one man didn't have to take it to Congress. He didn't have to put it up to a vote of the people to see if this is what you'd like to do. He didn't have to consult Daniel or any of the others to ask of their opinion on it. He made a decree, and the decree stood. And the decree was such that he wasn't able at that time to change the decree that went forth. The king's word had that kind of absolute sway and power and authority. It had the power of the kingdom behind it. The power of the king and the words that he said. So it says here of the wrath of a king. That's never what you'd want to encounter. You never want, if you're in a kingdom, to incur the wrath of the king. Because if he spares your life, he can sure make it miserable. He can sure make it unbearable for you. But on the other side of it, in the light of a king's countenance, in the favor of a king, whenever a king would look upon me and say, I favor him. I appreciate them. I want to take care of them. I want to make sure they're treated well. I want to overlook their affairs and make sure everything that comes to them in life is right. You know, that's the place that I'd want to be, is in the favor of a king. I don't want to incur the wrath of the king. I want the king to say, "Oh, Clint. Oh, yes, I know him. I know him. All right. He's got his own special bedroom here at the palace that he can come and stay in." To have the favor of a king, it says, is as life. And the light of a king's countenance is life. And his favor is as a cloud of the latter rain. I'd like to turn to the book of Esther. Look at a king here for a moment. King Ahasuerus. Won't read the whole story. I'm sure we're familiar with it. The king was married to a queen named Vashti. It was so that in a day they were to have a ceremony or a celebration that he called for the queen and called for the queen to come show herself off, to present herself before all those that were assembled before the king. And she said no. That's not something that is likely to incur the favor of a king. It's not likely because he is the king. He's not accustomed to people telling him no. He's not accustomed to having to tolerate rebellion. A king with power like that, and as he consulted his wise men and those in his kingdom, and he asked, "What are we going to do about this?" They advised him and said, "If I can put it in my words, we've got to nip this in the bud. We can't let the word of what's happened here get out, because all the women in the kingdom are going to start getting the same idea. That they can rise up against their husbands and rebel and not be obedient and not be submissive. So we got to take care of this. We've got to deal with it right now." And so he dispossessed her as the queen. And they went out and began a search to find a replacement for the queen. This is where Esther enters into the scene, where they brought different ones in the kingdom. The king, not knowing that Esther was a Jew, brought her before him, and she pleased King Ahasuerus above all the other women of the kingdom. We'll look at just a few verses here. Oh, beginning in the second chapter. The 12th verse. "Now when every maid's turn was come to go in to King Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months, according to the manner of women, for so were the days of their purifications accomplished, to wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh, 6 months with sweet odors, and with other things for the purifying of women. Then thus came every maiden unto the king. Whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house." This was an occasion of the women that were in the king's court. It wasn't a light matter to go appear before the king. It wasn't just a casual matter that, "Well, I think I'll just stop by and see the king for a little while." You don't go into the king unless you're called for. And whenever it's your time to go into the king, you want to be prepared. You want to be of the absolute best quality and smell and look. I want to go unto him perfect. Why is that? I want the king to look upon me and be pleased. I want to have the king's favor as I go into the king. So they spent months upon months preparing for that moment to stand in front of a king. It's kind of hard for me to imagine somebody held up in that level of reverence and respect. But so they did, preparing to go in unto the king at the appointed time. Much preparation. The 15th verse. "Now when the turn of Esther, the king of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for daughter, had come in unto the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. So Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus, into the house royal in the 10th month, which is the month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women. And she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Whenever Esther came and stood before the king, of all those that he had seen, it's like he forgot all about them. This is the one. This is the one that I set my love upon. This is the one. Forget all the others. I choose you to be the queen. She found favor in the sight of the king whenever she came before him. Kings, want to refer one more time to King Nebuchadnezzar whenever the three Hebrew children defied the commandment to bow before the idol, worship it at the time appointed, whenever they stood up and refused and wouldn't bow down and were brought into the king. You remember what happened? The king's, his countenance was changed. His visage changed. He was filled with fury and with anger. He was furious at him. And whenever they, even after his prodding, they still wouldn't bow down. He was furious. He commanded, it's like he just lost control of himself. Seven times hotter than what we do for anybody else. Throw him in. Destroy him. Don't want anything left of him. The king's fury. You know, it was an urgent matter to please the king. I want us to just get a hold of that thought. It was an urgent matter to be found in favor of the king. For that reason, whenever Daniel and the Hebrew children were brought into captivity at Babylon, they said, here's the diet that you're going to have to follow. Because the king only accepts the very best. And the thing that is going to make you the very best is going to be this diet of the king's meat and wine that he sets before you. You've got to please the king. There's no other way around it, or you're not going to survive. You're not going to be able to function in this atmosphere and the responsibility that's given to you. But they chose to please someone else greater than the king. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We will not defy him. I want his favor before I want the king's favor. And the scripture says, whenever a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. There's one above man. You know, I feel, and I want to bring this around to the thought that the Lord has given me. I feel the pressure today. No doubt all of us, and I feel for our young people. They feel the pressure today. You've got to eat of the king's meat. You've got to partake of what the world says this is, as we heard this morning. This is the new norm. This is what's expected of you. Just go ahead and do it. Just go ahead and partake of the diet. Go ahead and take of the dainties of the king's meat. It'll be all right. You're not going to be able to function otherwise. You know, there's one greater than an earthly king that we're looking to please. There's one greater than the kingdoms of this world that we're looking to satisfy. There's one that's higher and far above societies, peoples, majorities, no matter how great the number and the pressure. There's one above all that, that we are to please. There is a king that's greater than any earthly king. There is a king who pleases himself in righteous judgment. A king that's fair and just, that's loving, that's true, that's faithful. There's a king that never changes. You know, this king, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is one that you don't have to worry about. I wonder what kind of mood he's in today. I wonder if he got up on the wrong side of the bed today. I wonder if he's feeling sorry for himself today. I wonder what he's plotting. Well, maybe I better wait. You know, I've even seen those on the workforce. It's not a very good comparison of a boss to a king. But in a way, there's authority and power or position. And I have someone that's over me in the workplace and I want to please them. I want my work to please them. Of course, we do. Want those that are in authority over us. And I've seen people just go to all lengths. And I've seen sometimes they'll go almost too far to try to go out of their way to maybe bring in lunch for the boss and do it over and over. And special favors. I want to get in good with the boss. I want the boss to think well of me. You know why? The boss holds my paycheck in his hand. The boss holds next year's raise at his discretion. If I can get in the boss's favor, where the boss looks upon me and says, I appreciate what he does. I appreciate the job that he does. It's going to be a lot better off for me. Do we have one that we are striving to please today? Do we have one that we're living for to please? I would that it not just be a light matter in our lives, that we find the favor of the King of Kings, that we be able to live in the light of His countenance, that we be able to find His favor and His blessings upon my life. Esther and the women, they put much emphasis, much priority on preparing for that moment. I want to be ready. I want the king whenever I walk into the room. I want to see his smile break out on his face. Remember the day that we were married and the excitement of it, and I was standing up in front of a bunch of people I wish weren't looking at me, and I saw through the crack in the back door, saw movement, and I was watching and looking, and then the one that I've been waiting for, that I loved, that I couldn't wait to see. I hadn't seen her in her wedding dress. I didn't know what it looked like. You know, there wasn't any, they call it a poker face, I guess. Wasn't any of that. There wasn't any containing my smile. I broke loose in smiles. You know, we are preparing to please our groom. We are preparing to please the bridegroom. The world is vying for our affection. The world is saying, here's what you got to do to please me, to fit in. Here's what you got to do to have our favor. Here's what you're going to have to do to be a part of us. And the Lord's saying, forget all that. You set your focus on pleasing me, on what gains my favor in your life, so that I can see the Lord's smile upon me. We have a song that we sing often. Number 114. All glory to my Savior's name, to do Thy will, my highest aim. Thy favors more than earthly fame, Thy smile is my constant light. In the light of God, now my soul is singing all. All is bright in the light of God. I now in the light of God. To do Thy will, my highest aim, Thy favors more than earthly gain. Can we really say that? Doesn't matter what, how well I get ahead in this world. It doesn't matter if you hold me back from promotions because I don't go drinking with you. It doesn't matter if you speak evil of me because I don't run to the same excess of riot with you. I'm not seeking your favor. I'm not living for your approval. I'm not living for your sanction upon my life. I don't need that. I'm looking for one that His smile is my perfect light. That's what I walk in from day to day. It's my constant light that illuminates my way. Scripture says of the children of Israel, ...44th chapter of the book of Psalms, Psalms 44... verse 1, we have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us what work Thou didst in their days in the times of old. How Thou didst drive out the heathen with Thy hand and plantest them. How Thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but Thy right hand and Thine arm, and the light of Thy countenance, because Thou hadst a favor unto them. You know, that's what's going to make all the difference in our lives. It's going to be what makes all the difference to give me the grace and the power to be able to go through life, to be able to stand in the face of adverse conditions and pressures and tribulation and persecution and all of that. Lord, if I can have Your smile and Your approval on my life at the end of the day to say I'm pleased with You. I like how You handled that. I'm pleased that You took the time to do that. Is that what we're living for? You know, that's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, therefore do we labor, that whether absent or whether present, that we may be pleasing to Him, that He may find favor in us. I want to please the Lord, and I believe this afternoon that we do. Fourth chapter of the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 4. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will shew us any good? Lord, lift Thou up the light of Thy countenance upon us. Are we desperate for that today? You know, if we ever get to a place that we're not, and that I think I have the strength, I have the ability to navigate, to make my way through this day on my own, or because of who I am, or how long I've been saved, or because I have Church of God over the door, that somehow we're going to be okay. Well, our forefathers were such and such. Well, we came from Brother D.S. Warner. So we are the truth. Thank the Lord for the truth. But let's never get into a place that I get complacent with, that I get careless with it. Lord, unless You have favor upon us, folks, we're nothing. Unless our lives please the Lord, unless our worship is pleasing to the Lord, folks, we have nothing. Nothing for ourselves and nothing to offer the world around us. It is our only hope to be able to have something on hand. Lord, we want the King's countenance to shine upon us, to be able to see that smile. And I don't believe we have to wait till the end of life. Boy, what a day that'll be. Whenever we walk through those gates and see, if I can see a smile on His face and to hear, well done. But Lord, I want to hear it every day. As I commune with the Lord, as I listen to the voice of His Spirit, it's going to be that light. In His countenance is light. It's a light to us that guides us. Let's turn to the 89th chapter of Psalms. Look at a verse here. Psalms 89, verse 14. Justice and judgment are the habitation of Thy throne. Now we're talking about our King again. Mercy and truth shall go before Thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of Thy countenance. I want to be in that place. I want us as the people of God to be in that place, that we're continually dependent upon the favor and the blessing of the Lord. To walk in. I don't take a step without it. Folks, it's a step at a time, a day at a time, that we walk with the Lord in our walk with Him, that we walk by the light of His countenance. The children of Israel had a light of His countenance to a sense. His presence that was represented by a pillar of fire by night, by a cloud by day that showed them the way. What did they do with that? Did they just disregard it and say, well, I know the cloud's over here, but I think I'll just go this way. It says whenever it stopped, they stopped. Whenever it went forward, they packed up camp and they went forward with it. It's the presence of the Lord. We can't fight our enemies without it. We can't even eat without it. We can't do anything without the presence of the Lord. He's the one that delivered us out of Egypt. He's the one that feeds us every morning. He's the one that keeps the shoes on our feet from wearing out. Over and over, we're fully dependent upon Him. Lord, unless I have the light of Your countenance to go with me, I dare not take a step. But on the other side of that, if the Lord be with us, if the Lord's smile will be upon us, I don't have to fear the decree of the King. You know, we don't have to fear the decrees of this world. We don't have to fear the laws that they pass, saying this is what you'll do, this is what you'll condone, this is what you'll tolerate, this is not what you'll say. I don't have to fear all that. Not in my own strength. But if I have the King's countenance, if I have the King's favor and smile, folks, it'll be all right. It's going to be all right. He's going to take us through. If the Lord smiles upon us, Daniel and the Hebrew children didn't have to worry about it. They said, oh, if you throw us, the Lord doesn't deliver us. We're still not careful to answer you. It's going to be all right. It's going to be okay if we're thrown into the fire, into the lion's den. The Lord's able to shut the mouth of the lions. The Lord's able to part the fire for us. Saints, we're going to be all right. If the Lord's favor is upon us, each and every one individually in our own lives and in our assembly and our congregation, we'll be all right if we'll stay with the Lord and have His blessing and the light of His countenance upon us. Just as the children of Israel didn't get the land by their sword, neither will we. His smile must be our perfect light. And yet, there are so many people today, and I suppose I can't fault or be too judgmental with them, because I remember as a teenager and some rocky years of my life, I remember wanting the smile of the world. I remember being afraid in the cafeteria to bow my head to pray because of what folks would think. I remember things like that, and I look back and think, why? Was it so important? I don't even know most of those folks now. Was it really so important? And yet it seemed so big before me at that time. You know, so many people, the enemy is trying to pressure them into a mold to feel like, here's what I have to bow down to. Here's the image that I have to present, because the world says this is what it's got to be. But I'm thankful. You know, it's liberating to be able to just please the Lord. To be able to say, I'm not living for all of these other folks. They're not the ones that are going to check my ticket, so to speak, to make it to heaven. I want to please the Lord and Him alone. Yet, many people are seeking the friendship of the world. James 4:4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. It goes back to the decision of the gospel. Choose you this day. What will it be? Are you going to serve God, or are you going to serve mammon? Do you want the favor of earthly kings, or do you want the favor of a heavenly king? Do you want the world to smile upon you, or do you want the Lord's blessings and His power and His anointing upon your life? Too many people try to seek both. You know, I remember one time whenever I felt some of that pressure of the world of, here's how you need to dress. Mom and Dad didn't necessarily dress me like that. Here's the brands that are cool. Here's the name brands that if you wear these two or three name brands emblazoned across your shirt, you're really something. You know, I remember starting to fall into that. I remember going to a store and paying way more than I should have for a shirt. And it did something for me. Whenever I fit in a little bit. I've got one of the name brands, and looking back, that didn't represent anything wholesome. The what that company represented, I was being a billboard to promote their agenda of worldliness and corruption and moral decay. But yet the world is pressuring, saying, here's the mold that you need to fit into. Be ye not conformed. Don't allow yourself to be squeezed into the mold of what this world says. Of what they say, this is how you ought to look, how you ought to talk, what things you ought to do. I'm not seeking to please the world. I'm not seeking the friendship of the world. But I want the friendship of God. But rather, be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. You might be able to prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Don't be conformed, but rather transformed. Whenever the world says you've got to eat our meat, drink our drink, go to our places, you know what Jesus said? My meat is to do the will of the Father. That is my meat. That is what sustains me. That is the number one objective. Of course He wasn't saying, I'm not going to eat with you. I'm never going to eat. I'm going to fast the rest of my life. But here's what's number one in my life. I don't need the world's meat. I wanted the meat of being able to do the will of my Father, of being able to know that He's well pleased. And He was, wasn't He? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Oh, to hear those words. You know, I don't believe those words are only for the Son of God, but unto all those that are dear children of His. We want our children to have a desire to please mom and dad, to have a desire, because that's what takes them from doing the bare minimum, from only doing what I think I have to do because mom and dad are looking, to having a mindset and a heart that says, I want to do what's right. I wonder what dad would want here. I wonder what he would say about this. You know, I want to give it my all. I want my father to see the job that I've done here and say, wow, well done. As dear children of God, let us have that mindset as well. Lord, I want to please You. I want You to look on what I've done, my feeble efforts, and say, well done. I'm pleased with what You've done. You know, it's not in our strength, in our efforts. We can't work our way into pleasing the Lord. But whenever He sees His image in us, whenever He sees the working of His Spirit bringing forth fruit in our lives, He's pleased and well pleased with that. I'd like to close in the book of Acts, the second chapter. Jesus reminded His disciples, whenever you have done all these things, then say, we're just unprofitable servants. Not to think that somehow I'm deserving for the things that I've done, but to realize that without the Lord, we're nothing. Acts, the second chapter, 28th verse says, Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. You know, that's where joy is. At His right hand is the fullness of joy. That's where the abundance and fullness of joy. And I'm so thankful for the truth. I'm thankful that we don't have to wait for an age to come. While some dream of an age to come, I'm thankful that we're enjoying it right here. We can enjoy the peace. What is the kingdom of God? We've got a king. We're trying to please the king. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. We can possess it. Where? At His right hand. That's where the fullness of it is. Whenever we're living close to the Lord. Whenever His pleasure, His favor, the light of the King's countenance is upon my life, my heart, my thoughts, my desires. Whenever they please the Lord. That's that and only that is where I find fullness of joy. Otherwise, there's going to be still something missing. Even in my salvation, there's just something that doesn't fully satisfy. I'm pulled both directions and both ways. Oh, would to God that He help us. That He help His church, young people among us to have that burning desire. Lord, I want to please You. I want to go all the way and cast my lot in 100% to please the Lord. You pray for me. Amen.